Good to be back. My wife tripped me. Actually, it was funny what happened, but I mean, it wasn't comfortable, but it was funny. My medication I'd been taking had been making me a little dizzy, and so we got on the elevator to go up to the doctor's office. We elevator door opened, and I said to her, I'm dizzy. And down I went. So now we're in the elevator, not too far from the office door, and my wife's trying to hold the door open, get me up, and a fella came and helped us, and we were able to get up and get that squared away. I sprained my ankle pretty bad, but I feel good. Fourth chapter of the book of Colossians. We're going to go back because we really need to include verses 18 through 25 of chapter 3 with this portion of Scripture. Paul's writing to the church at Colossae, young church, and he speaks to every category or people group in the body. I thought that was unique. In verse 18, he talks to the wives, to the husbands, to the children, to those who were fathers, servants, masters, and then servants again. And some believe that there were two groups of servants. One were would be those who were indentured. Others would be like employees. So he speaks to the whole church. Everybody from children to adults, from parents to children, from fathers to sons, from mothers to daughters. He covers the gamut. Now it's important that you remember this, because he's not just listing a group or speaking to a particular need of these groups, but he's wanting us to see that there are different kinds of people in the church. There aren't just old people, there aren't just young people. There aren't just rich people, there aren't just poor people. They're masters, servants. Social stratas were different. And so he's writing to this large section of people in the body. And when he gets down to chapter 4, he talks about this group's responsibility toward himself. Paul was a visible picture of what Christ is doing in his life. And so he says to them, with all praying also for us, verse 3 of chapter 4, that God would open unto us a door of utterance. He'd give us the ability to speak. He gives opportunities to to speak. Amen? Then he says, and that, verse 4, that I personally may make it manifest, clear, understandable, as I ought to speak. So he says to them, here's one responsibility. Remember, I'm in prison. I have a responsibility, and I have a people's group that I'm responsible for. It happens at this point to be prisoners, those who are occupied in the office of prison work. And he wants to make sure that he doesn't do anything that would damage, be contrary to the things of God. So he says to this church, pray for me. All God's people said. Pray for me. Then he says to them, there's a responsibility that you have also. And he says, with walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time. Let your speech be always with grace, seasoned with salt, that you may know how you ought to answer every man. So he says, first of all, here's your responsibility toward me. Now here's your responsibility toward God. And if I had a name to, or a title to put on this, I would say, he's saying to them, what or how does God want the world to see you? We forget we live in the world. This isn't where we show our faith or declare our position. Pretty well known among us, amen? But he said, how does the world see you? How does God want the world to view you? And folks, it's that particular thing that we need to view. And there are three important principles that stand out in these two little verses that will help us fulfill that responsibility. So he says, walk in wisdom toward them that are, here's the word, without. That doesn't mean poor people or people who don't have anything. That's not what it's talking about. Them that are without, the word without means outside of or not indigenous to. So he's talking about people that aren't in the church. People that don't go to your church. People that don't understand your church. People that aren't involved in that. They don't go to church on Sunday. They don't have any kind of worship program. They're not redeemed. How are we then to talk to them? How are we to act toward them? What on earth would God require so that we might be able to reach them with the gospel? All God's people said. And so he's very careful here. And he gives us three principles. What the world should see. Number one, the world should see us walking wisely. Walking wisely. Walk in wisdom, the Bible says, toward, in front of, before those that are without. He's talking about a daily principle in your life. You live next door to people. You work with different people. You go to shop in different places that have different people. You go out to eat on occasion, and there are different people. There are different waitresses or waiters, different managers. I mean, folks, you think about it, you contact a lot of different people. Each one of us do. And so how do we respond? What should they see? How does God want us to be viewed by them? He wants them to see us as walking wisely. Doesn't mean superiority. Doesn't mean for you to flash how bright you are. Walking wisely means simply, as you live out your life, you walk wisely. This phrase implies two things. It implies both action and reaction. It's not just important how you act. Listen very carefully. It's also important how you react. I had a neighbor next door to me in the first house we actually bought. He was a lawn neatnik. How many know I'm talking about? This guy, I think he got down on every Monday morning and measured the length of his grass. Well, it's an inch and a half, better mow it. He edged everything. He watered everything. Well, I was a young pastor at the time, and I didn't have quite that time. But I noticed that he had come over and run the edger along the edge of my yard. So one day I saw him out there. I went outside and said, "Hey, I'm sorry I'm not getting my yard done like I ought to." He said, "Oh, that's all right." Then he started talking to me about how to care for my yard, what to buy to keep the dandelions out, what to kill the moles with, what to... he knew everything, how to aerate it. And so that year I told my wife, I said, "We're going to spend a little more money in our yard." She said, "We are?" I said, "Yeah." So I told her we're going to do all these things. So one day he saw me out there planting new flowers. Another day he saw me out there aerating the lawn. I bought an aerator or rented it. Another day he saw me out there putting down wood chips. And pretty soon he's, "Hey, can you need any help?" I said, "Well, man, that'd be great." So he came over. We got a Coke each and sat around drinking Coke and putting in a few flowers, a few plants, a little bit of lawn work. And I mean, it just opened the door for me to be able to talk to him about something far more important than lawn work. And we shared the gospel with he and his wife. They were wonderful people. They were Methodists. And I believe she was saved. I don't know if he was or not, but he was a good man. But we were able to talk to them, have them over for hamburgers, those kind of things. It opened the door for us to walk wisely. To walk wisely is to live my life in a wise manner. Let me just give you couple of three things. Number one, walking wisely really means to act in a manner that would promote Christ-likeness. How many of you have ever been working in your yard or outside and you were walking, you stubbed your toe or you tripped over the sprinkler, or you stepped on a rake? How many ever done that? Stepped on a rake, and it comes back to bite you. And you said, Well, hallelujah. Or did you say, and all of a sudden, while you're getting your revenge on whatever it was that attacked you, your neighbor hears from the backyard, comes around, what's going on? Well, they know you're human. But we have to be careful that we act in a manner, even in difficulties or disagreements, in a way that would promote Christ. It means not frivolous. It means kindness, consideration, helpfulness, courteous conduct. How are you walking? Your employer, how are you walking? Your neighbor, how are you walking? Your doctor, how are you walking? This walk in wisdom means, secondly, we are not to react in an unkind or indecent manner. Amen? Our responses are as important as our considerations. Let me say that again. Our responses are as important as our considerations. They are unsaved. Their goals are different. Their views are different. Their actions are different. Their morality is different. Don't get mad. I've said this before. Don't get mad when unsaved people act like they're unsaved. Amen? We mark them. It's like a taboo. That's silly. It doesn't mean you have to act like them. It just means you have to love them. Take them where they are. Don't become reactionary. Wisdom is not reactionary. We bought our second home, and before we moved in, the guy that had built it wanted to add, I don't know, a gas line or something, and it was right in the middle of our front yard. He didn't tell us he was going to do it. He just figured because he built it, he could do it. Well, we owned the home. Therefore, we owned the ground that the home was on. He came over and dug about a 7 or 8 foot hole, filled it in, but it only filled it into about 4 feet. So our yard that once went like this, went like this. So I called him on the phone. I said, hey, can you come back and kind of fix that? I'm not going to fix that. He got mad, angry, terribly angry. So I thought about it for a second. My first thought was, I'm going to go pound on him. I didn't do that, but that's what I wanted to do. My second action was, how can I help him get this fixed for me? I said, hey, I've got off Saturday. I'll be here to help you if you'll come. He said, you what? I said, I'll be here to help you. Oh, brought over a dump, put it in, then he brought over sod. And he put sod on top of that. I couldn't believe it. Got it fixed just as nice. You get more bees with honey than you do with vinegar. Amen? And then thirdly, we are to be guarded. In fact, that word walk in wisdom, walking, means a watchfulness. A watchfulness. Or carefulness in your conduct. The world judges the church by the conduct of its characters, you and I. Careful in our conduct. So the Bible says, first of all, he said, hey, Paul says, pray for me. Amen? Then he says, now here's your responsibility towards God and what God would love to see in you. And the first thing God would like to see out of you as a church in these groupings is a wise walk. Walk wisely. Secondly, he said, then I think that you should be motivated properly. What motivates you to do anything? Amen? You know, you want to know how valuable something is, what motivates you to do it? In fact, I've often said, what motivates you to do a thing makes its real worth. What motivates you? Well, he says here, redeeming the time, that should be a motivating factor in your life. To improve the use of our time by making the most of every opportunity. Amen? You know, we probably walk by or walk away from more opportunities to tell people about Jesus than we possibly could ever fulfill. We just don't get it done. Don't waste time. Manage your time. Use your time for the good of God and the good of others. Listen, it's not how we use our time that's so important. But listen very carefully. It's how we use our time with reference to those who are outside. They're watching. Paul makes it very clear. Walk in wisdom toward them that are without, outside. Do we spend our time showing them what a Christian is to be like? Do we spend time talking with them, building friendships, building bridges of opportunity? We had a neighbor next door. He was kind of cranky. How many ever had a cranky neighbor? Hey. And so Norma was bound and determined for him to like her. She bakes this particular kind of cookie. It's pretty yummy. She baked a dozen of those and walked them across to his house, knocked on his door, handed them to him, and he said, "What's this for?" She said, "Oh, they're free cookies. Where'd you get them?" "I baked them." "Well, I'll try them." We called his wife the next day and said, "How are the cookies?" She said, "What cookies?" "Cookies they gave your husband." "I never saw any cookies." So she hears her yell to her husband, "Where are the cookies?" He said, "I ate them." We became good friends. Invited them on several occasions to our church. They were both Catholic. They both came. One Sunday when I was preaching down the aisle, they came and said, "We need Jesus." We were walking in wisdom. We were redeeming the time. How do we spend our time in redemptive work? It's important, Paul says. Motivated properly. Then he says one last thing. If you're going to reach your neighbor, you're going to live out Christ in front of them, you're going to let the world see Jesus, you need to speak powerfully. All God's people said. Why are we so afraid of the gospel? It's the power of God unto salvation. Let your speech, he says in verse 4, be always. How long do you think that is? All the time. Always. With grace. Seasoned with salt. So that you might know how you ought to answer every man. So he gives us 5 principles. You ready here? Listen to this. Number 1, our speech needs to have an attractive quality. Amen. You need to be able to say things that attract interest. And it doesn't work this way. If you die today without Christ, you're going to burn in hell. No, that's not very attractive. I'm just saying. Amen? No, you don't get to that until you first get to this. Is there anything we can do to help you? Can we assist you in some way? My neighbor across the street retired from General Motors after 40 years. That's a long time to work for anybody. 2 weeks later, he went to his son's house. They were going to cut some limbs from a tree and then take the tree down. So he climbed up and was cutting some limbs from the tree. He's up about 18 feet, put his foot on a branch broke down, he fell. Snapped his neck. 2 weeks retired. Paralyzed from the shoulders down. Nobody in the neighborhood knew that except I heard it. When the ambulance showed up, I heard it. And I went across the street to see his wife, and she's broken. She's weeping. They're Greek Orthodox. I followed the ambulance to the hospital. Didn't think a thing about it. Went into the hospital. They finally got him into a room late that night. I sat with him that night into the early morning hours. His wife came and she looked at me. How long have you been here? I said, I don't know, 12 hours. She couldn't believe it. Who would care enough to stay? And I began to talk to her, told her that we are concerned for you. We have care for you. We want to help you. How can we help you? Over the next couple of years, we did so many things for them, and they became dear friends. He finally got in a chair that he could operate just with his one little hand, you know. Man, he had that thing going down the road 15 miles an hour. I'd walk with him sometimes, couldn't keep up with him. And we'd park it on my lawn or his lawn. I'd get a lawn chair, and we'd just talk. My speech was to have an attractive quality. My speech should have an uplifting quality. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth. It should be uplifting. Let no corrupt communication proceed out of your mouth, that it may minister grace, favorableness, kindness to the hearers. Our speech should have an attractive quality, should have a uplifting quality. Our speech should have a palatable quality, all God's people said. You know, we go over and talk to people, and sometimes we use church jargon, terminology, theology, philosophy. The world doesn't understand any of those things. They don't know our terminology. It's like when they come to church and they've never been to church, and you ask them to stand and sing, "Praise God from whom all blessings full," and they look at it like we're on Zoom. They don't understand those things or those concepts. It makes no sense to them. It's not understandable. And palatable means it's good for them. They can get it. They can imbibe it. It changes for them so that they get an understanding. That's why they do not understand us. The Bible says the natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit of God. They're foolishness to him. He can't know them either because they're spiritually discerned. It needs to be palatable. Then our speech should have a tasteful quality, not offensive. All God's people said. James 3 says, "For In many things we offend all. If any man offend not in word, the same is a perfect man and also able to bridle the whole body. Tasteful. Then I think there's a fifth thing. Our speech should have an individual effect. Now this is so important. Our verse says that you may know how you ought to answer every man. Now you couple that, every man, you might even say every category of man, and you go back to those verses in chapter 3, and it lists all these categories. Children talk to children best. Teens talk to teenagers best. Masters, employers talk to employees best. Workers talk to workers best. Husbands talk to other husbands best. Wives talk to other wives best. Fathers talk to other fathers best. Do you get the drift of that? God's equipped you as a father, if you're a father, to be able to share with fathers. God's equipped you as a worker to share with other workers. God's equipped you as an employee to share with other employees. God's equipped you as an employer to share with other employers. That's the gist of this whole text. We're to communicate from our vantage point to them so that they might understand. God said, hey, pray for me. And he said, then here's your responsibility to God. Walk in wisdom towards them that are without, redeeming the time, because the days are evil, all God's people said.